Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 28. 15th and 16th verses we want to read. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Wherefore I have called thee, and that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy?" I want you to notice in verse 15 and 16, in the middle of verse 15, it says, "God is departed from me, and answereth me no more." Samuel retorted and said, "The Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy." Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much today for the love of God. I thank you, Christ, for dying for me on the cross. I thank you, Father, that through thy wonderful Son, the shed blood and your love, that you offer and give unto us eternal life for those who will believe. And Father, I'm grateful again today that here, as we have another opportunity to preach thy word, that, Father, I don't have to stand alone, but, God, that you'll be the power, you'll be the strength that you've promised to be to me. And, Father, I pray for the wisdom, the strength, Father, the clarity of mind and thought. I pray, Father, for the clarity of speech, that I might be a blessing to this people and bring the message that they need to hear this day. I pray, Father, for each individual in this room. They're not here by accident. I pray, Father, that each one will, that knows you not as Savior, will come to know you today. I pray for thy children, Father, that they will be strengthened and encouraged today through thy word. Now, Father, we know that none is here by accident, but we also know, Father, there's many that should be here that aren't. And we pray, Father, that the will of God will be done in their lives, that, Father, that they may walk with you always. Now, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do and ask you, Lord, to bless and have your will and way. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to bring a message this morning which I've entitled "The Cries of God-Forsaken Souls." The Cries of God-Forsaken Souls. Folks, we find in 1 Samuel here, we find that Saul said God had departed from him. Samuel said, God has not only departed from you, he's become thine enemy. In the word of God, in Proverbs 1:28, it says, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." The word of God there, talking to the heathen, said there'll be a day when people will want to seek me, but they won't find me. They'll call upon me early, and I won't be there. I will not answer thee. God forsaken. I would like for you to turn to the book of Hebrews just for a moment, please. The book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let me read a couple verses. Twelfth chapter of Hebrews, 16th and 17th verse. Says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Esau wasn't concerned about holy things until it come down to the time when he needed a blessing, until he wanted his birthright. Now, when he was hungry, he just simply sold it to his brother, got rid of it. He wasn't concerned about the holy things until it came time for him to inherit that which he should have had. And all at once he looked around and he began to cry out to God, "Oh God, bless me, bless me. Give me the blessing." God said, "I can't give you the blessing. You've sold it. You sold it for a pot of beans, for something to eat." He didn't care about the holy things. He was forsaken of God. Now, folks, listen. He wasn't repenting as Bible repentance talks about, sorrowful in heart and true repentance to God. He was sorry he had sold his birthright. He was sorry that he didn't have those things which he should have wanted to have. And his brother Jacob had them. But you know, the Bible is full of those who were forsaken of God because of sin. And that's what I want to bring our message to you today about: the cries of God-forsaken souls. And first of all, I want to go to one who cried out, and you say, was he God-forsaken? Yes, he was. The cry of the blessed Son of God. Let's go to Book of Psalms 22. Psalms 22, and I want to read you a few verses of scripture. I want you to understand that chapter 22 of Psalms is a messianic psalm. It is speaking about our Savior, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened to him upon the cross of Calvary. And we find that the psalmist here gives us a full account of what is going to take place many years down the road when Jesus dies upon the cross. I want you to listen first of all to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. We know that happened on the cross of Calvary, as those stuck out their lips and shook their head at him and mocked at him and said, if he is God, why don't he come down from that cross? We skip down to verse 13. It says, and they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and ravening and roaring lion. And I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the death. For dogs have compassed me, and cymbal of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. This is a picture of the crying of the Lord Jesus Christ out upon the cross of Calvary when he was forsaking of God. Folks, you've got to understand the seriousness of this. When God turned his back upon his only begotten Son, it was God forsaken by God. Jesus was truly God and he was truly man, and God the Father turned his back on God the Son and forsook him for a short time there because of you and me, our sin. Jesus loved us so much, he wanted to die for us upon the cross. God sent him to die for us upon the cross. The love of God is greater than anything any man can ever understand. I could stand here and preach for years and years and never completely help you and make you understand the complete and wonderful love of God. It's something beyond the human tongue. It's something beyond even my comprehension. But I know it is real and I know it is true. Jesus loved me. God the Father loved me. God the Holy Spirit loved me. And Jesus gave himself for me that I might have eternal life. And yet, he did it all. He was forsaken of God for you and for me because of our sin. You see, in verse 1, though, of that psalm, you hear him as he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He says, God, why did you forsake me? Listen, folks, in those days when Jesus walked here on this earth, the multitudes, those who he ministered to, those he had healed, those who he had fed when they was hungry, those who needed help in their afflictions, the Lord Jesus Christ helped them and blessed them, and he raised the dead. And, folk, the Bible tells us at the end when they crucified him on the cross, they forsook him. No longer did they want any more to do with him. He walked away as not only a God-forsaken man, but also man-forsaken. Not only that, his disciples, who walked with him for 3 years in his ministry and supposedly loved him, and they saw every work of his hand, they saw the great miracles that he did. They saw him that day when he turned the water into wine. They saw him that day when he healed the withered hand. They saw him that day when he made the lame walk and the blind see. They saw all the miracles that Jesus Christ did. And yet, folks, when he was hung upon the cross of Calvary, they forsook him and turned from him. But not only that, and I guess really the most horrible part about it is that God forsook him because of our sin. He called out upon the cross, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of our sin, folks, your sin and my sin, Jesus had to die being forsaken of God for a time there. You see, Jesus stepped out of the realms of heaven, came to this old sin-infested earth, was born there in a manger a long time ago, grew up there under the leadership of Joseph and Mary, and he became the Son, the Father's Son. And he walked with God all the days of his life in perfectness, no sin whatsoever. And then, of course, they took him then and took him to a cross and hung him on a cross and let him die there on the cross. And then they took him down from that cross and they buried him. And then a little short time, 3 days and 3 nights, they took him. He rose from the dead. You see, folks, listen, Jesus stepped out of heaven for you and me. But when he was on the cross, God forsook him. God turned his back on him. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I'd like to share with you just a moment a little bit about that. Can you imagine that day when he was in the tomb? Can you imagine when all the imps of hell thought they had won? Can you imagine when Satan thought he had won and there the Son of God had died and he'd put in a tomb? Can you imagine how they felt and they thought victory was theirs? Let's just think for a moment and just imagine just a little bit what death was talking about that day and what Satan was talking about. Satan comes by and says, Death, have you still got him in the tomb? Is he still there? He says, Yes, sir, I've got him. He said, Are you going to be able to hold him? He said, Listen, John the Baptist didn't get away from me, did he? Well, I know Enoch and Elijah slipped out of my hands, but we'll never make that mistake again. He's there in the tomb. Has corruption come? Is he going to take hold? Is corruption going to take him? He said, sure he will. Corruption isn't here yet, but he'll get him. Second day he came by and Satan said, listen, he said, Death, have you still got him there in the tomb? Sure. He said, he's still there. He said, are we going to hold him? Sure, he's going to hold him. Third day, Satan come by and he said, Satan, are you sure? Death, have you got him? Oh, he says, I can't hold him. I can't hold him. He's rising from the dead. Folks, you can't hold Jesus. Death couldn't hold Jesus Christ because, folks, he arose from the dead. You see, he was God forsaken. Why? For you and me. Why did he raise from the dead? For you and me. That we might have eternal life. Folks, listen. Do you understand just a little bit of why he died? Do you understand just a little bit and understand that it wasn't for his sake he did it, but that he was forsaken of God for you and for I, and because of our sin? I want to talk to you just a moment about the cry of a man who lost God's power. Folks, listen, I want to tell you something very seriously. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved, but do you know something else? It's a horrible thing to be forsaken of God. It's a horrible thing to lose the power of God in your life. It's wonderful to know Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to walk with him. It's wonderful to know the power of God upon your life. It's wonderful to know that. But folks, once you've had that power, you don't want to ever be without it. You don't ever want to walk outside of the will of God for your life when you've walked close to him once before. Now, folks, listen, I want to talk to you just a little bit about a man by the name of Samson, a man who was chosen of God. Samson was a man ordained to do the ministry of God Almighty. He came to his mother and dad, and he told them that he was going to be born. The angel of God came and told them that he was going to be born, that he was going to walk with God. He was going to be a Nazarite, and he was going to take the Nazarite vow, and he was going to walk with God and do the things of God. But let me share something with you. Samson, although he was a man of God, he was very carnal in his ways. He did not walk with God like he ought to have walked with God. He served the lust of the flesh more than he served the things of God. And he was that kind of a man. Now listen, because of that, Samson lost his vision. And I want to share just a few things with you. You remember the story. You remember how Delilah came to him and asked him, said, Samson, why do you have all your power? How can you have that great power and strength? And of course, the Philistines had put her up to it. And he says, I'll tell you what, if I am bound with 7 reeds which had never been dried, he said, you just bind me with them. He said, all my power will be gone. And so Delilah took 7 reeds and bound him. And when he awoke, he just simply broke them as though there was nothing but a thread. And she said, oh, Samson, you've mocked me. And she cried like a little baby and sniffled around and asking Samson, said, why did you cry? Why did you lie to me, Samson? You don't love me anymore. He said, well, I'll tell you what if you'll bind me with new ropes, all my power will be gone. And sure enough, old Delilah took the new ropes and bound him. And when he awoke, he just took, and the Bible says he just broke them as little as a thread. Just broke them apart. And old Delilah began to scream and holler again. Why did you mock me? Why did you lie to me, Samson? You don't love me anymore. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. He says, if you'll just weave the 7 locks of my head with a web. And he was getting closer, wasn't he? He was getting closer to the truth. He said, if you just weave the 7 locks of my hair with the web, he says, my strength will be gone. And sure enough, she got him to sleep again. And she done just exactly that. The Bible says she took a pin and pinned it. And when he arose, he was just as powerful as he always was. And boy, this really made Delilah mad. And she began to gripe and complain. And she said, you're mocking me. You don't love me. And the Bible says, if you get in there, and folk, that's why you oughtn't be nagging wives. The Bible says that she vexed his soul from day to day to find out where his strength was. And finally, he grew so tired of it that he told her. the truth, and said, if you cut the locks of my hair, neither scissor has ever come to my head. If you cut the locks of my hair, he says, I'll lose my power. Now listen, folks, when he laid his head down on Satan's knee, and that's what it was, laid his head down on Satan's knee, and she cut his hair. She called for the slaves or whoever, servants, whoever they was, to come in and cut his hair. And when he arose, the Bible says he shook himself as before, went out, and he lost his power. But not only did he lose his power, they punched his eyes out. Samson lost his vision. They bound him with brass fetters, and they took him down to grind in the prison house. You see, he lost his vision. Listen to me, folk. When a man loses his power, he loses his vision. Folk, listen to me. I hope you're not that away, but there's multitudes of Christians today that's walking around. They used to have a vision back when. Oh, they used to have a vision of what God could do in their life and what God could do for their family and what God could do for their church and what God could do, period. It was a past vision that he used to have, but they lost it. They don't have it anymore. They used to have a vision of what God could do for them now in their life. They had faith. They was walking with God from day to day. And they had a vision of what God could do. They trusted in God. But they don't have it anymore. They've lost it. Not only that, they used to have a vision for in the future of what God can do. Folks, listen, it's not enough what God's doing now. It's what God's going to do down the road if he doesn't come. We want to know what God can do. I believe God can do great things. We ought to have a vision for what God can do in this place. Not just today, but for tomorrow, next week, and next month, and next year, and years from. We ought to have a vision. But folk, when you lose your power, you lose your vision. You lose your vision. You lose your past vision. You lose your future vision. You lose your present vision. You lose it all. You don't have it. Your eyes are punched out. Folk, listen. Listen, right now. Do you have a vision of what God can do? Do you have a vision? Can you look back on what God has done and do you glory in it and praise God? And do you look forward today what God will do in your life today? And do you have a future to look to and know that God's going to do something for your life? Do you have a future vision, or is your vision gone? Is it just despair like Samson's? His was gone. But not only that, you see, Samson lost his power. There was a time when a lion roared out at Samson, and the Bible says he was a young lion. And the Bible says also that he came against Samson, and Samson rent that lion as he would a little kid. In other words, as he would a little lamb. It was easy for him to kill that lion as it was that he would take a little lamb and just slay him and break his neck. You know, he was a powerful man. There was another time when Samson went down and he slew 30 men by himself, just slew them and took the spoils and took their garments. Not only that, there was another time because some of the Philistines had come up and had burnt the wife he had married and the child he had had. And he had burnt them with fire. And he took and went out and caught 300 foxes and took them tail to tail and tied firebrands in between their tails and turned them loose in the crops of the Philistines and burnt them up. A powerful, powerful man of God. Every time he done that, the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him and he was strong and powerful. Not only that, there was a time when Samson was in the town there in Gaza. And he was surrounded by his enemies. And they was waiting till morning. And they was going to come against him. And the Bible says Samson arose at midnight. And it says he took the door of the gate of the city. He just picked it up. And two posts, the posts came too. He just picked it all up. And he says he went away with them, bar and all, and put them up on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill. Spirit of God came upon this man. He wasn't worried about his enemies. He had the power of God, and he just picked up the gatepost and the gates and the bars and all of them, just put them on his shoulder and walked to the top of the hill. Walked out of there. There was another time, folks, when he took the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 Philistines. Can you imagine that? That's power of God upon a man. But now, where do we find him? We find him down in a prison, grinding in a prison. With his eyes out and he can't see. Why? Because he lost his power. Because he loved the things of the world more than he loved the things of God. You know, when a man loses his power, he can't do the things he used to do. Samson used to kill lions and he couldn't kill him anymore. Samson used to slay the enemy and he can't slay him anymore. Folks, listen, you lose your power and you won't be able to do the things you used to do. Was there a time you used to walk with God when you was first saved? And there was a time when you witnessed for God, you had the power to witness for him. Was there a time when you read your Bible and you prayed like you ought to do, and anymore you don't do it? Why? You've lost your power. The power's gone. You don't love the Lord like you ought to love him anymore. Was there a time when you worked for God and served God and done something for God? Why don't you do it anymore? Why aren't you out witnessing? Because you lost your power. You lose your power and you lose your vision. And then, folks, listen. When you lose those, you lose also your place. Now listen, you know what Samson was? Samson was a judge of Israel. And when he turned from God and walked with the lust of this world, folks, he lost his power, he lost his vision, and he lost his place. He no longer was a judge of Israel, but he was a slave. Down in the prison house, he lost his place. Folks, there's people that God has had to set on the shelf all over this country. God's people who claim the name of Jesus Christ, who used to do something for God, but no more do they do anything for God because they've lost their place. Why? They've turned to the things of the world. They won't do anything for God anymore because they have no power, they have no vision. They've lost their place. You know, I believe that it can be restored. Thank God that down in the prison house, Samson one day said, God, oh God, I've been wrong, bless me, please strengthen me. And the power of God became back on that man. Have you lost a vision? Have you lost your power? Have you lost your place? There's no excuse for not doing something for God, none whatsoever. None. Don't give me any excuses. You have no excuse. We need to be in our place doing the things of God. We need to do it in power. We need to have a vision for the future of what we're going to do for God. But where are you today? And I want to share something else with you. The cry of a God-forsaken soul in eternity. You know, I believe if we would take the lid off of hell today, and I really can't do that, but I believe if we did, we'd be surprised. You know, first of all, before we get into that, I'd like to share with you. I believe it's right to live for God. Don't you? You know, Bob Jones Sr. always says it's right to do right. It's never right to do wrong. He said, if you do those things you ought to do, you'll not do those things you ought not to do. If you do those things you ought not to do, you won't do those things you ought to do. You know, that's just good theology. Do you know if you walk with God, you won't walk with the devil? Do you ever think about that? If you do the things you're supposed to be doing, you won't be doing the things you're not supposed to be doing. It's a simple theology. It's a simple way. God just tells us to walk with him daily. And so I believe it's right to walk with God. And I guess that's why I'm so tore up sometimes when I see folk that won't walk with God. Because you see, what you don't realize, you're not looking down the road to eternity. What you don't realize, every day that you waste not walking with God is a day that you'll never recapture. It's a day that's gone. You can't go back and get it. It's a day that you've wasted in your witnessing for Jesus Christ. It's a day when you might have had an opportunity to tell somebody how to be saved and you didn't do it. You can't recapture those days, folks, when you walk with no power and no vision. No place. You can't recapture them. You've got to start now, today, and begin to walk with God. But folks, listen, what if we could take the lid off of hell just for a little while? I wonder what we would hear. I wonder if we could hear as Cain comes to the top of the lake of fire and he screams and hollers, am I my brother's keepers? Are we our brother's keeper? Folks, you can count on it. We are. We have a responsibility. We have a debt to our brethren. We have a debt to this sin-forsaken world. You have a debt to every person you come and meet in contact with, and I have a debt to every person I have come in contact with. I owe the sinner the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm debtor to the sinner and to the barbarian. I'm debtor to them. And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And that rings throughout all the ages of eternity. I believe that if we'd open the lid of hell, we could hear the people of Noah's day who would not believe the preaching of Noah and said, that silly old man don't know what he's talking about when he's talking about it raining. He's silly. He don't know what he's talking about. It's never rained. He's just an old fanatic. And I think they're saying now down in the pits of hell, oh, if I'd have listened to that fanatic. Oh, if I'd have listened to him as he preached and told us and warned us of the wrath to come. I believe if we'd open the lid of hell a little bit, I believe we'd hear Balaam, that old false prophet Balaam, who helped to bring a curse upon the people of Israel. He caused the people of Moab to sin with the people of Israel. I believe we'd hear him say, oh, had I not done that. Oh, had I not done that to Israel. Through the ages of eternity, it rings. I believe if we'd hear the king of Egypt in Moses' day saying, oh, I wished I hadn't ordered all of the male children slain. Them was Israelite children. Them was God's people. And I had them slain, all the male children. I had them killed. I think we'd hear Pharaoh saying, I should have let God's people go. I should have turned them loose. In all the ages of eternity, those thoughts are going to remain with him. I should have turned them loose. I should have served the God of Moses. And there's Korah too. As he stood one proud day rebuking Moses and Aaron, standing in a place he had no right to stand. And God opened the very pit of hell himself, and he dropped into that pit himself alive. And Korah said, oh, had I not stood against Moses and Aaron. Oh, had I believed God and trusted God. And Jezebel and Ahab comes by upon the tops of the waves. And Christ said, oh, had I wished I had not worshipped Baal. Oh, how I wished I had not tried to slay Elijah. Instead, I'd listened to Elijah and listened to Elijah's God. And Ahab and Jezebel will spend the rest of eternity in a devil's hell, thinking and crying out. Belshazzar comes by and he says, why did I have that drunken party? Why did I blaspheme the things of God? Why did I take the silver and gold vessels from the temple of God? Why did I do that? And I'm sure the words of Daniel ring in his ear and will ring throughout all the ages of eternity, weighed in the balance and found wanting. Weighed in the balance and found wanting. Weighed in the balance and found wanting. Herod of Jesus' time comes by, and I'm sure he says, why did I order all those babies killed 2 years old and under? Oh, I wish I hadn't done it. Why did I try to slay the Lamb of God? Why did I try to kill God's Son? Herod and Herodias and her daughter comes by, and he says, why did I watch her dance that day? Why did I agree to cut off the head of one of God's choicest servants? And Herodias says, why did I ever ask for the head of John the Baptist upon a charger? And the daughter says, why did I ever dance like that? What did I ever do such a lewd thing and a filthy thing to display my body in front of men? Why did I ever do that? And Pontius Pilate comes by. And I believe that we can hear him ring throughout all the ages. I'll wash my hands of the whole affair. And yet he can't wash his hands. All the ages of eternity will display that he could not wash his hands of the whole affair. Agrippa comes by and says, oh, I wished I wasn't just almost persuaded, but I wish I'd have been persuaded. I wish I'd have listened to the word of God. Felix comes by and says, I wished I'd have found a convenient time. Oh, if I'd just have found some convenient time. But I didn't do it. And yet, you know what, mister? You know what? God did open just a little bit the pit of hell in Luke 16. And he finds a man that's screaming in torment and saying, I'm in torment. Give me just a little water. You know, there was a man. I won't call his name. I started to a minute ago, but I won't call his name. But there was a man that was an atheist that I had the opportunity to witness to. And his boy had asked me to go see him. And I went to the hospital to see this man, and he told me his dad was an atheist. He said, I'm really not an atheist, but he says, I just don't discount nothing, but I just don't believe nothing. And he was dying. He was dying of leukemia. And I tried to tell him about Jesus, which I did, and he listened. I tried to tell him that Jesus loved him and Jesus wanted to save him, and that the only way he could ever be saved, the only way he'd ever be prepared for heaven is through receiving the Lord Jesus as his Savior, putting his faith and trust in him. And that he would not do. He said he just wasn't interested. I said, "Will you think about what I've said?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I'll think about it." 2 days later, I went back to see him again. And I went into the room, and I'd been in contact with the family and knew a little bit about the background. And so I was talking to him again. I said, "Sir," I said, have you thought about what I told you?" And he said, "No." I said, "Aren't you interested in knowing where you're going to spend eternity?" He said, "I just don't believe that stuff." And I said, "I want to know something." I said, "Was your wife a Christian?" And he said, "Yes, she was." I says, wouldn't you like to see her again? Wouldn't you like to spend eternity with her?" You know what he said? He said, "Mister," he said, "you've brought enough grief to me. I want you to leave this room." And I said, "Sir, I'll leave. You tell me to leave, I'll leave. That's fine. But," I said, "I want you to remember that Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you." And I walked out of the room. He died 2 days later. As far as I know, he never received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, folk, he'll go through all eternity. You mark it down. Not just my witness to him. I know other folk probably has witnessed to him. I'm sure of that. But he'll go through all the ages of eternity remembering that time that he said no to the gospel of Jesus. He could have been saved. He could have been born into the family of God right there in the last hour of his days on earth. And he would not. Now, folk, where are you at? If we opened the lid, if you died today and we opened the lid of hell, what would we hear you say? "Oh, I was waiting for a more convenient time. Surely there'll be another day for me, won't they?" "I was almost persuaded that day I heard that preacher preach, but not quite. I've got other things to do." Yeah, through all the ages of eternity, you sure do. You'll burn in a devil's hell. You'll be tormented with the flames of hell through all the ages of eternity. Folk, is it worth it? Of course it's not. That's the cry of a God-forsaken soul in eternity. Now, folk, listen. This is not funny business. This is serious. We're talking about your soul for all eternity. If you die without Jesus, you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. No hope ever getting out. Now, are you a person who has lost God's power? You know how to get it again? Just yield yourself to God with holding nothing back. Confessing your sins unto him and getting them cleansed and say, "God, here I am. No more am I going to sin. No more am I going to complain and gripe and murmur. No more am I going to do that. I'm just going to give it to God. And I'm just going to yield myself to you. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. You just tell me and I'll do it." And God will empower you and strengthen you. And he'll give you a vision. He'll give you a place again. Now, folks, are you here today, God forsaken, never been saved? Never won unto Christ, never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Folk, you don't have to go home that way. Today you can receive Jesus Christ and be born into the family of God. You can put your trust in the living Savior, the one who died for you. You can ask him to save you today and he'll give you eternal life. He'll save your soul and make you a new creature in Christ. I pray you'll do that as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for the love of God. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for sending Christ to die for us. Oh, Father, I pray today that you'll draw these unto thee that know you not as Savior. Father, the lost in this church house today, I pray for their soul, and I pray that they be saved. I pray that they'll present themselves unto you, receive you, the Son of God, in atonement for their sins, that they may be saved. Father, I pray for thy children today. Should they be without thy power, They've lost their vision. They've lost their power. They've lost their place. Father, I pray they'll regain that again today. And as Samson of old, say, oh God, strengthen me again that I might do something for you. I pray for that today. And I pray, Father, simply that thy perfect will would be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.